May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for me, when I read through the lesson, I thought to myself, verse 8 in the song really explains everything that we're to be about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And for me, one of the themes or the summaries or the teachings or, let's say, following God's will and ways, you know, all of the lessons stem, you know, from that verse. In fact, even the collects, it starts us off by saying, grant a merciful God that your church, being gathered together in unity by the Holy Spirit. So all of us are to be gathered together every Sabbath, together, by God, for God, and with God. That's what we're supposed to be about. And Isaiah, he couldn't explain it any better. There's a couple of thoughts here. If you remove the yoke from among you, in other words, if we remove our sin, our kind of, let's say, bad attitude, stop pointing fingers at everybody else, stop speaking evil, you know, stop doing that. That's what God's telling Isaiah to prophesy. He says, instead, if you offer your food to the hungry, if you satisfy the needs of the afflicted, and there can be many different types of affliction, so we have to be aware of everybody's needs. Then, and I love that word, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like the new day. Everything changes when we actually accept and live our lives out each day as God wants, as He wills. And if we think about it, just as Jesus lived His life on earth, His will was God's will. His ways were God's ways. He had, we know this, an attitude of acceptance, of love, forgiveness, and giving. Obviously, Jesus was self-sacrificing. But before we get into the gospel, there's just one more line and or verse in Isaiah. If you refrain, and this is important because it's like a discipline, if you refrain from trampling, and I love that word, trampling, that's really harsh, but trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing our own interests on holy days. If you call the Sabbath a delight, think about that. When was the last time you thought, oh, it's going to be a delight to worship the Lord together? If we honor God's Sabbath, focus only on His way, not going our own ways, not serving our own interests, or pursuing our own affairs, that's when we change from being self-absorbed to God-absorbed. And that's when we delight in the Lord. And all of that gets us ready for the gospel. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And what happens next? A woman comes in. She had been afflicted. She had been crippled for 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, what was his first thought? Oh, I have to obey the law of these people? No, it was God's law, God's work. Not mankind's busyness, but God's work. And so he says to her, you are free from your ailment. And he laid his hands on her. And she immediately stood up straight. And what was the outcome? She was praising God. And that's what Jesus His ministry was to bring everybody, to reconcile everybody, to direct everybody back to God Almighty, God the Father. Then the leader of the synagogue, the priest of the church, the leader, became indignant because Jesus had cured this woman on the Sabbath. But he was kind of a coward if you think about it. Because what does he do? Does he speak to Jesus face to face? No, he says to the crowd to try to get them antagonized and like get a little bit of support so he can attack Jesus even better. And he says to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath. Now, think about that. As Christians, does that make any sense to us, really? What is the Sabbath for? What is the Sabbath for? So Jesus, who might be gentle, but always truthful, definitely not a coward, he answers the man to his face and the crowd. And some of the crowd were with him, but most of the crowd, they were going to learn that Jesus had an excellent point. So he said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on a Sabbath, and this was the letter, untie your oxen or your donkeys from the manger and lead them and give them water if they need it? So they're allowed to do that in God's sight. He's telling them, don't you think it makes sense that God's love should extend to this woman too? Ought not this woman, and this next line meant a lot to them, a daughter of Abraham, that was extremely important to the Jews, which was bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free? Jesus knew that the Sabbath was for the worship of God, for relaxation, sitting back. It's a little hot, I know it's uncomfortable, but for us to be restored, whole, like whole, the all of us, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, as a whole, as a group, and as individuals. It's kind of like R&R, relaxation and restoration day with God, worshiping God, taking time out for the busyness of our lives so that we are being about God, gathering together to have joy in the Lord, to have joy in learning His ways and will, and being aware of the needs of others. So when the crowd heard all of this from Jesus, all of his opponents, including the leader, because it made godly sense, they were put to shame. And what was the outcome? The crowd was rejoicing in the work that Jesus had done. And that's what we're to be about. Rejoicing in our Lord. Rejoicing in all of the blessings that we have. Rejoicing that each and every one of us is here, and then sharing it as we go forth. It really is God Almighty who gives us true rest. And think of the comfortable words that it's in right one, and usually I use it in Lent. What does Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I bet there's not one person in here that doesn't understand that. And Jesus says, with open arms, I will give you rest. Just come to me. God's gift of rest gives us restoration. God's gift of rest and peace gives us healing and a sense of relaxation and true peace. And when we accept this, that brings us personally more understanding, more awareness, more patience, more compassion like Jesus has, more tolerance, more forgiveness, more acceptance, and true godly love. And when we do that, That brings us even closer and closer to our Lord, to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is something to rejoice about.